This is Kathy coming to you with the Times Republic, which covers all of Iroquois County. Looking at the front page, list of warming centers in Iroquois County provided by the Emergency Management Agency. With a bitter cold taking hold of the area, Iroquois County Emergency Management Agency Coordinator Scott Anderson has announced warming and centers will be available for the residents in Iroquois County, ensuring the most vulnerable residents are safe during the upcoming extremely cold winter days. According to information in a press release, the centers offer a warm location during periods of dangerous cold. Residents are encouraged to ensure their senior relatives, friends and neighbors, and others whose health may be affected by the extreme cold are safe during the extreme low temperature days. Churches and other organized groups are also encouraged to check in on the well-being of their members. The following locations have been contacted this winter season and will be available during their standard business hours. These locations will remain available throughout the winter season. Most government buildings will close for any upcoming legal holidays, as will some of the other published locations. Before heading to any warming center, it is recommended that a phone call be made to confirm availability. The warming center list includes Ashcombe, the Ashcombe Coliseum, Chavance, Chavance Community Center, Gilman, the Gilman City Hall, and the Iroquois West School District Office, Martinton, the Martinton Church of Christ, Milford Christian Church, Watsika, the Watsika Public Library, Walmart, Iroquois County Administrative Center, Trinity Church. Other locations may be available as this office receives updated information. To keep our residents informed about potential winter weather events, Iroquois County EMA regularly shares winter weather information on social media. Plan Review. Iroquois County Natural Hazards Mitigation Plan available for public review by Carla Waters. The Iroquois County Natural Hazards Mitigation Plan is now available for public review. The Iroquois County Multi-Jurisdictional Natural Hazards Mitigation Planning Committee conducted the public forum on February 13th at the MABAS 37 building in Crescent City. This is the fifth meeting of the committee that has helped put together the Iroquois County Natural Hazards Mitigation Plan updates at Ken Runkle of AEC, the company working with the committee on the plan. We make the document available for 2 hours. Sometime at either beginning or end of that 2-hour period, we actually host a meeting of the committee, he said. What the document includes some background on what mitigation is. We then have a chapter on every hazard. There is a severe storm section, there's a flood section, excess heat. It goes through all the different natural hazards and documents in the history of those. There's an appendix that lists every storm hazard that has ever happened in the county since records have been kept and is verifiable. We document what has happened and make the case for what the different vulnerabilities are in the county to these natural hazards. Then each of the participating jurisdictions have an opportunity to propose mitigation projects, he said. Callie Smith, also of AEC, said there's a list in there for each jurisdiction that have what their projects are that they should go into the plan and they are going to apply funding for. Runkle said the benefit to the public and to the jurisdiction is, by having this plan, it documents what hazard and what things have happened in the past. The past is often a good prediction of the future, so then what are some of the things the jurisdiction could do to reduce the potential for hazards to affect the public? That's what mitigation is, something you do before a hazard takes place to either reduce its impact or before any impact. That's to property and that's to people. So each community had an opportunity to list projects. This plan, once approved, is in effect for 5 years. During that 5-year period, the participating jurisdictions can apply for federal funding for any project listed in the plan. Whether they do or not is entirely up to them, Runkle said. That's the value of listing these projects and the value of their participation. And if you're not a participant, you can't apply. You are locked out until the next cycle, Smith said. There are 25 jurisdictions in Iroquois County that participated this time. Everybody in the county was invited, Runkle said. Whether they are a municipality, a township, a fire protection district, a school district, anybody and everybody had the opportunity to participate, and these are the ones who chose to do so and are listed in the plan. Smith said, from a data perspective, the more people who tell us about lightning strikes and flooding in an area gives a more comprehensive picture. Otherwise, you're going to miss things, she said. Runkle noted that for a county of its size has a remarkable number of participants. He said while there are 25 participating, there are probably 15 more who inquired about it. They at least inquired and participated in a meeting to see whether this was something they wanted to do. Participants include the cities of Watseka and Gilman, the villages of Ashcombe, Beaverville, Shabance, Danforth, Gilman, Watseka and Woodland, Belmont Township, Crescent Township, Lovejoy Township, Ridgeland Township, Central CUSD 4, County Iroquois County CUSD 9, Iroquois West CUSD 10, Crescent Iroquois Fire Protection District, Danforth Fire Protection District, Gilman Community Fire Protection District, Iroquois Ford Fire Protection District, Loda Fire Protection District, Wellington Greer Fire Protection District, and Woodland Fire Protection District. Runkel said the requirements for participating are attend at least one committee meeting, complete several surveys and forms to tell about the community, propose at least one mitigation project, and then adopt the plan. The plan will be available for review and comment until February 27th. Any comments we will receive, we will evaluate them and go over them with Scott, Iroquois County Emergency Management Agency Coordinator Anderson, and say, are these valid comments? Do you agree with putting this in the plan? Once we have addressed all of the comments, then the revised draft goes to the Illinois Emergency Management Agency. They will review it, and then they come back with comments which are made, and then that revised draft goes to FEMA. They will then let us know if they have any comments. If they don't, they issue what's called an APA, or Approval Pending Adoption. That means they have said this plan is good, so the last step can now take place, which is that all 25 jurisdictions adopt the plan. Runkel said the process at the state and federal level is usually 2 to 3 months. The plan is on the county's website for review and a survey that can be filled out online if someone wants to comment. Smith said once the plan is finalized, if a jurisdiction comes up with another project, like they have emerging need they didn't have before, they've discovered they have a new vulnerability because of planning, they can apply to Scott to get that added to the plan even after it's been finalized. These 25 jurisdictions can add or delete projects during the 5-year period, Runkel agreed. According to some of the information provided, each year natural hazards such as severe thunderstorms, tornadoes, severe winter storms, and flooding cause damage to property and threaten the lives and health of Iroquois County residents. Since 1990, Iroquois County has been included in 9 emergency and major federal disaster declarations and experienced at least $29.1 million in recorded property damages and $79.7 million in recorded crop damages. In the last 10 years alone, from 2014 to 2023, there have been 49 thunderstorms with damaging winds, 33 extreme cold events, 29 riverine flood events, 29 severe winter storms, 27 flash flood events, 16 excessive heat events, 10 severe storms with hail, 1 inch in diameter or greater, 9 tornadoes, 2 droughts, and 2 lightning strikes with verified damages in the county. While natural hazards cannot be avoided, their impacts can be reduced through effective hazard mitigation planning and implementation. Smith noted that Iroquois County, especially in the Watseka area, well, they did not finish that sentence, so I don't know what the rest of it is, but there you go. This next article, Ashcombe Officials Inform Residents About High Copper Levels in Water, by Carla Waters. Ashcombe officials have informed residents about an issue with the water system violating a drinking water standard. According to information on the village's website, the village says the water contains high levels of copper. Officials say the issue is not an emergency, but that residents have the right to know about the matter and what is being done. We routinely sample water at consumers' taps for copper. The tests show copper levels in the water above the limit or action level, so we are required to install corrosion control treatment. This treatment helps prevent copper in the pipes from dissolving into the water. Corrosion control should have been installed by July 26, 2024, but installation is incomplete, reads the notice. Typically, copper enters public water supplies by leaching from copper or brass pipes and the plumbing components. Your water is more likely to contain high copper levels if water pipes in or leading to your home are made of copper or contain copper solder. The notice says the village is working on the matter. The village is putting an optimized corrosion control treatment and source water treatment recommendation together that will be sent to the IEPA along with water samples in hopes of correcting our high levels of copper, it reads. This is not an emergency. If it had been, you would have been notified immediately. Corrosion control will be in place by January 1, 2027. For more information, please contact Derek Miller 815-374414 or derekmiller2120@gmail.com. Also in the notice is an explanation about copper, which says is an essential nutrient. Some people who drink water containing copper in excess of the actual level over a relatively short amount of time could experience gastrointestinal distress. Some people who drink water containing copper in excess of the actual level over many years could suffer liver or kidney damage. People with Wilson's disease should consult their personal physician. These symptoms, however, are not caused only by organisms in drinking water, but also by other factors. If you experience any of these symptoms and they persist, please seek medical advice. The notice lists ways to reduce copper exposure. Those include calling the village at 815-370-4414 for information about getting water tested for copper, finding out whether one's pipes contain copper or copper solder, flushing standard copper from the wipes by running water for 15 to 30 seconds or till it becomes cold before drinking or cooking with it. Not cooking with drinking water from the hot water tap, as this allows copper to dissolve more easily into hot water. Not boiling water to remove the copper. Excessive boiling water makes the copper more concentrated and the copper remains when the theater evaporates. I think that meant when the water evaporates. In this article, Horse-Drawn Enclosed Wagon Travels Through Watsika by Carla Waters. A horse-drawn enclosed wagon made its way through downtown Watsika the afternoon of February 18th. X America by Horse was the sign on the back of the enclosure as it headed east. The website gives a little information. It says that this is the journey of a man with more than 50 years' experience driving horses as he travels across America. The website does not give an itinerary. The video that is entitled Our Purpose shows the man, unnamed in the website, who says that the purpose is to connect with people and visit people in nursing homes and talk with people who can't get out. Where it will take me, I don't know now. I don't care. I just know I'm supposed to be doing this. There are videos that show he and a friend talking on the phone about the journey. The last video he tells his friend, he is in Wyoming. Headline, Watsika reminds residents about complying with the Lead Service Line Act. The city of Watsika is announcing information about lead service lines. According to information from the city, in December of 2021, the Illinois Environmental Protection Agency finalized the Lead Service Line Replacement and Notification Act. The act mandates that water system operators must comply with reporting requirements by documenting the material of all water service lines. All water service lines must be inventoried, and the city of Watsika must report annually to the IEPA. Mailers are being sent again to all customers within the city. There is a QR code on the mailer that takes you to a website with an instructional video of what is needed. The website also has a survey where you can enter your address and pipe material along with three pictures of the service line. Residents can have a representative of the city schedule a time to inspect their line and take the necessary pictures if they prefer. The website is www.gettheleadoutil.com. Residents can also call Robinson Engineering Limited at 708-505-5287 with questions or to schedule an inspection. And some local news. For 10 years, United Way of Kankakee and Iroquois County's 211 helpline has connected individuals and families with essential resources in its region. From housing, utilities, mental health, our basic needs, 211 connects residents with a live person, offering confidential 24/7 assistance in finding needed resources. On February 11th, United Way board members and community leaders gathered to celebrate the launch of 211 coverage in Kankakee County. Since that time, this phone-based service has expanded to cover Iroquois County and reached more than 7,000 residents. In the last five years, in 2024, 211 provided 2,198 local referrals to needed services. This free public service is made possible by United Way of Kankakee and Iroquois County in partnership with Ascension St. Mary, with additional support from Comcast. 211 referral data offers a window into the challenges faced by one's neighbors. Housing and shelter have dominated the top service requests in the region for 5 years, accounting for 42% of all local calls in 2024. Other common referrals for the community were utility assistance, 402 referrals, rent assistance, 269 referrals, and food pantries, 217 referrals. These numbers highlight the ongoing challenges many families face in their own hometown. United Way's 211 services are often marked in partnership with the Can I Help online directory at www. www.canihelp.org. This online directory is designed specifically for Kankakee and Iroquois residents and offers information for 800-plus services for both counties. Can I Help is owned by the Community Foundation of Kankakee River Valley and is managed in partnership with United Way. As 211 celebrates this 10-year milestone, United Way remains committed to helping residents access vital resources. Residents are encouraged to share and use these services by dialing 211 or use the Can I Help website at www.canihelp.org. I see no obits in the paper today. This headline, Senator Balkema files Senate Joint Resolution to celebrate 100 years of Route 66. Winding through the heart of Illinois' 53rd Senate District, Route 66 has long been a gateway to adventure, history, and economic growth, especially in Pontiac, where the highway's legacy remains a vibrant part of the community. To honor its impact and celebrate its centennial, State Senator Chris Balkema, Republican from Shanahan, is officially declaring 2026 as the Illinois Route 66 centennial year, according to a news release from his office. For decades, Pontiac has been a must-visit stop for travelers from around the world, with its iconic Route 66 museum, historic murals, and classic roadside attractions, emphasized Balkema. Route 66 has fueled local businesses, strengthened our communities, and put our district on the map. Celebrating 100 years is not only an honored reflection of our past, but also a commitment to preserving its legacy for future generations. Senate Joint Resolution 12, filed by Senator Balkema, highlights the rich history of Route 66 and declares 2026 as the Illinois Route 66 Centennial Year to honor the 100th anniversary of the historic highway. Route 66 isn't just a road, it's a symbol of American freedom, adventure, and history, said Senator Balkema. As someone representing a district through which a large portion of Route 66 proudly runs, I am proud that my first resolution recognizes its legacy and the communities it connects both within our district and across the nation. Route 66, fondly known as the Main Street of America and the Mother Road, was first established in 1926 and has played a pivotal role in the history and development of the United States. Illinois holds a special place in the history of Route 66, as it was the first state to pave the highway in its entirety and serves as the starting point of this iconic roadway. From its historic diners and motels to its roadside attractions and cultural landmarks, Illinois has preserved the spirit of Route 66 while fostering economic growth and tourism along its path. This headline, Christopher Meredith announces candidacy for First Ward Alderperson in Watseka. Christopher Meredith announced his candidacy for First Ward Alderperson in Watseka. According to a press release, with more than 30 years of residency in Watseka and a strong record of community involvement, Meredith says he is committed to bringing fresh perspective and dedicated leadership to the City Council. Meredith has lived in Watseka for more than 3 decades and graduated from Watseka Community High School in 1997. He has been married to his wife, Melissa, for 23 years, and they have a 19-year-old son, Quentin. Currently serving as the IT manager at Iroquois Industrial Group, Meredith has worked in various local businesses throughout his career. His community involvement includes roles in several organizations such as the American Cancer Society Relay for Life Committee Chair and Online Chair, Watseka Park District Board Member, American Red Cross, Iroquois County Youth Center, Iroquois County County Amateur Radio Club, served as President, Vice President, and Treasurer, local Cub Scouts Cub Master, various nonprofits, groups, and churches, period. In his leisure time, Meredith enjoys camping, bowling, outdoor activities, and woodworking. Recently, he and his son Quentin purchased the old Public Health Department building to transform it into a community hub for multiple organizations. I believe I have the skills to lead and represent our community, said Meredith. It's time for a change, and we need smart, responsible thinking to improve our town. Our town has many issues, like empty buildings, poor streets, and outdated water systems. Let's work together to make things better. Meredith says he is committed to open, transparent government, strong partnerships, and listening to the people. He believes it is the duty of an alderperson to make decisions for the benefit of the community, not just individuals. While acknowledging that it is impossible to please everyone, he emphasizes the importance of doing what is right for the majority. Meredith's campaign focuses on improving Watseka through community involvement, transparency, and forward-thinking solutions. For more information about his campaign, please contact him at tzservice@sbcglobal.net or 815-955-4313. Well, this is an interesting reading. Illinois secession bill passes first hurdle in Indiana by Casey Smith. 1. Democratic lawmaker questioned whether the bill opens the door for some Indiana counties to move to Illinois. A bill that could help Indiana absorb nearly three dozen Illinois counties breezed through committee Monday, although a border shakeup appears unlikely. Republican House Speaker Todd Huston's proposal would create an Indiana-Illinois Boundary Adjustment Commission tasked with exploring the secession and transfer of counties that have already voted to leave the state of Illinois. Huston said House Bill 1008, part of the Majority Caucus's priority agenda, seeks to show disgruntled Illinois residents that Indiana, quote, welcomes those counties to consider joining our state. We don't want to see our neighbors to the west languish. Ultimately, their success or failure affects our own success or failure, but it's up to them to change their course, Huston said before the House Government Committee on Monday. In the meantime, to Illinois counties and residents feeling unheard and underrepresented, we hear you. We'd like to invite you to come back home again to Indiana. A push for Illinois counties to separate has been ongoing for at least a decade, but is gaining traction. Since 2020, 33 Illinois counties have passed advisory referenda to secede from the Prairie State, with seven of those votes occurring in the November general election. Local officials, many from rural counties in the southern and central points of Illinois, cited frustrations over high taxes, as well as the wide cultural divide between rural Illinois and urban Chicago. The referenda language involved the county splitting off to create a new 51st state, not joining Indiana. Some who testified at Indiana State House still preferred a new state, but several were open to Huston's idea. Our biggest grievance is that we are not represented, said Gina Merritt, chair of the nonprofit New Illinois, a group that aims to form an entirely new state. We don't have the government of the people, by the people, and for the people. Our governor accuses us of wanting to kick Chicago out of Illinois. Not so. We want to kick ourselves out of Illinois. Huston offered a bill. Offering a bill is novel because House Speaker usually doesn't author legislation. More in common with Indiana, the proposed commission would have five appointed Hoosier lawmakers and five appointees from Illinois. After naming Indiana's members, Governor Mike Braun would have to notify Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker that he has appointed members. The group would hold its first meeting within 2 months of Pritzker picking members to represent Illinois. Swapping states isn't guaranteed, or likely, however. Illinois would lose federal funding, and Republicans would see their bicameral superminorities further shrink, among other potential prairie state quibbles. But Illinois would need to approve the move alongside Indiana, then it'd head for the U.S. Congress for approval. Pritzker, a Democrat, is not on board. Last month, he called the Indiana bill a stunt that is not going to happen. I'll just say Indiana is a low-wage state that doesn't protect workers, a state that does not provide health care for people when they're in need, and I don't think it's attractive for anybody in Illinois where wages are higher, where the standard of living is higher, and we do provide health care for people in need, Pritzker said when asked about the bill. In Illinois, the Illinois Attorney General additionally issued an opinion that counties can't leave the state on their own. It's the same conclusion reached by the United States Supreme Court in 1907 in Hunter v. Pittsburgh, when justices ruled that counties are political subdivisions of the state, created by it and at all times wholly under its legislative control. Illinois has a population of almost 13 million, with roughly half residing in the greater Chicago area. Those who testified on Monday said that gives Chicago a dominant position in Illinois state government and ensures the state's strong Democratic control. But while most Illinoisans live in Democratic districts, the majority of the state's land is in rural communities dominated by Republican politicians. Merritt, with New Illinois, said Illinois communities outside of Cook County have much more in common with Indiana, like fiscal discipline and lower taxes. We very much appreciate that you see us, that you hear us, and that you empathize with our experience. We wish our own state government would do the same, Merritt said. We thank the leadership of Indiana for recognizing our pain. Mike Speedy, Indiana's new Secretary of Business Affairs, maintained Monday that Illinoisans have noticed the stark contrast between the low tax and spend of our state and that of their own voted state government. Indiana is a great place to start and raise a family, where public safety is paramount, family values flourish, where economic growth is standard and not the exception. Our neighbor to the west has one of the most dangerous cities in the country, making it easy for illegal immigrants to remain in the United States and continue to increase our taxes, said Speedy, a former state representative. Illinoisans have noticed a stark contrast, and they want freedom. They want a pro-opportunity, pro-business state. Could Indiana County secede? The bill advanced 11-1 from the House committee with bipartisan support. Representative Chris Campbell, Democrat of West Lafayette, was the only committee member to vote against the bill. The grass is not always greener, Campbell said. I'm not ready to disrupt the constitutions that we have created in our states and in our country. I think this creates a great divide of the red and blue states, and I don't like the message that it sends. During the meeting, Campbell asked about the fiscal impact to Indiana if the state absorbed the proposed rural areas of Illinois. Huston said that's something the commission would review. This is just raising our hand to a group of people that feel disenfranchised, who feel like their voice hasn't been heard. They're not being represented, Huston said. Some of them are going to talk about seceding. That's certainly one path to go. We're just raising our hands to say, look, this is a great opportunity to have a discussion. Representative Reagan Hatcher, Democrat of Gary, said the majority of the Lake County residents feel a similar lack of government representation as those in downstate Illinois. She asked the House Speaker if the commission would look at ways for counties like hers to move over to Illinois, because Chicago, for example, is more aligned with the views and the issues and the problems that we face. Is this a two-way street or a one-way street, Hatcher asked. Huston said anything could be considered, but he cautioned against the idea. I think you want to take a good, hard, long look before you consider heading west, what the consequences and the challenges that you might face, he added. Hatcher further asked if the bill was proposed based on fiscal benefits for Illinois residents who would become part of Indiana, or about the political leaning of this area and how they outweigh in their own state. Huston said the bill wasn't proposed based on political advantage for Indiana, noting that the political landscape could shift 50 to 100 years from now. He maintained the bill is filed primarily because people are seeing the benefits of moving to Indiana. Hatcher ultimately voted in favor of the bill, hoping that possibly this is a two-way street. It's a bill that shows that we care about how other people perceive the type of government that they live within, and I think that's important, Hatcher said. I think when we're talking about things that are happening in North Lake County and we say, hey, we don't feel heard, hey, we feel like this bill and that you all are passing may be good for rural Indiana, but it isn't good for urban Indiana. We want to be heard as well. Patrons still have time to join Watseka Library Reading Challenge. There's still time to join for the Love of Reading Challenge. Show us how much you love reading by logging your minutes and earning badges. Each badge you earn will grant you one entry into the prize drawing at the end of the challenge. Please drop by the library if you need any assistance with your Beanstack account. Save the date. Get whisked away to Neverland on April 26th at Pirates vs. Prairies Family Fun Day. The Pirates and the Fairies will compete to see which group can win your heart. Will you visit the fairies in Pixie Hollow or sail the seven seas with the pirates? Play games, participate in fun activities, and win prizes. We can't wait to see you there. Stop in and check out the Teen Bulletin Board in the YA Room. We have a monthly teen craft and information about our upcoming events like Teen Advisory Board and Dungeons & Dragons. The February craft is a no-sew pillow you can make at the library or take it home. Join our Teen Book Club as we immerse ourselves in literature and film classic Little Women by Louisa May Alcott. We will meet on March 14th at 3:30 p.m. for a discussion of the book followed by a showing of the film. Free refreshments included. Stop by the front desk to reserve your copy today. All drop-in and take-home crafts are available. The week of February 17th, Kids Drop-In Craft, Robots Tuesday, February 18th, Preschool Storytime Sharing at 10 a.m. on Wednesday, February 19th at Preschool Storytime Sharing 10 a.m. the week of February 24th, Kids Drop-In Craft, Fox and Socks Tuesday, February 25th, Baby Book Club, 10 a.m. Tuesday, February 25th, Ladies Night Book Club at 5 p.m. Friday, February 28th, the D&D Club at 4:30 p.m. Friday, February 28th, the last day for the Love of Reading Challenge. Week of March 3rd, Kids Drop-In Craft, Shamrocks Tuesday, March 4th, Preschool Storytime Sharing at 10 a.m. on Wednesday, March 5th, Preschool Storytime Sharing at 10 a.m. Oh, there's more in the paper, but that's all we have time for today. I hope you have a good weekend. This is Kathy wishing you the best for Friday, the 21st of February.